From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Once again to Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns brings the final portion of a message entitled The Prospect of Imminent Blessing, part of a series of studies in the book of Joshua. Before Dr. Cairns comes, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Morning by Morning. This morning's text comes from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 14. Them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Let us not imagine that the soul sleeps in insensibility. Today shalt thou be with me in paradise, is the whisper of Christ to every dying saint. They sleep in Jesus, but their souls are before the throne of God, praising him day and night in his temple, singing hallelujahs to Him who washed them from their sins in His blood. The body sleeps in its lonely bed of earth beneath the coverlet of grass. But what is this sleep? The idea connected with sleep is rest, and that is the thought which the Spirit of God would convey to us. Sleep makes each night a Sabbath for the day. Sleep shuts fast the door of the soul and bids all intruders tarry for a while, that the life within may enter its summer garden of ease. The toil-worn believer quietly sleeps, as does the weary child when it slumbers on its mother's breast. Oh, happy they who die in the Lord! They rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. Their quiet repose shall never be broken, until God shall rouse them to give them their full reward. Guarded by angel watchers, curtained by eternal mysteries, they sleep on, the heritors of glory, till fullness of time shall bring the fullness of redemption. What an awaking shall be theirs! They were laid in their last resting place, weary and worn. But such they shall not rise. They went to their rest with the furrowed brow and the wasted features, but they wake up in beauty and glory. The shriveled seed, so destitute of form and comeliness, rises from the dust a beauteous flower. The winter of the grave gives way to the spring of redemption and the summer of glory. Blessed is death, since it, through the divine power, disrobes us of this workday garment, to clothe us with the wedding garment of incorruption. Blessed are those who sleep in Jesus.
Thank you.
How often have you passed a church that displayed a sign which read, Revival, during a given set of dates? Yet, how many Christians in this age of megachurches and seeker-sensitive religion have the faintest idea of what constitutes revival in the scriptural sense? Down through the centuries, there have been remarkable visitations of God, during which thousands were gloriously saved. Times such as the Protestant Reformation, the revivals in England under John Wesley and George Whitefield, the Great Awakening in America associated with Jonathan Edwards, were times of genuine spiritual revival. The common factor in all of these events was an undeniable demonstration of the power of God rather than the ingenuity of man. In the early 1950s, such a revival occurred on the Isle of Lewis, one of the Hebrides off the west coast of Scotland. In the course of several years, hundreds of people were converted to Christ, and many churches were built to take care of them. Again, the Holy Spirit of God came down in power. The preacher during those days was the Reverend Duncan Campbell. Yet what took place on Lewis was not due to his pulpit skills, but to the overwhelming moving of God among the people. strong men, hardened sinners who mocked the preacher, were suddenly struck to their knees by the roadside under conviction of sin. Young people in a local dance hall left their frivolity and ran to the churches, crying for mercy upon their souls. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to make available CD copies of what happened during those revival times on the Isle of Lewis, including Duncan Campbell's own account of that, as well as personal testimonies of people who came to salvation in Jesus Christ during those revival times. To obtain your own copies of what happened at that time, just request the CDs of the Revival on the Isle of Lewis. You may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or if you wish, you may write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You will be blessed greatly as you listen to these accounts of the power of God at work. As commander of the host of Israel, Joshua needed to be prepared, spiritually as well as militarily, for the battles that lay ahead. In the opening chapter of the book of Joshua, God provided him with the inspiration he needed and instructed him to remember a number of important truths. As Israel had to prepare for the battles, so believers in Jesus Christ must prepare for their spiritual conflicts. This involves daily feeding on God's word. The passage of the Jordan is a type of death. So Christians are united to Christ in his death, and so are prepared to face the ultimate enemy. God promised the victory, but each Israelite was responsible to do his duty in the fight. There were to be no exceptions. The same is true for the people of God today. Each believer needs to ask the Lord, as Saul of Tarsus did, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" It is each Christian's responsibility to enter his personal Canaan. Now to conclude this message, the prospect of imminent blessing, here is Dr. Cairns.
What a shambles we have turned the life of the Christian church into. What an utter shambles. There's not a church in America that's an exception to this rule that I know of. I've never heard a preacher in all my life whose church was an exception to this rule that I'm about to tell you. We have turned Christianity and Christian church work into a shambles. Why do I say that? Because every church I have ever heard of has a nucleus. They're the people who bear most of the burden. They're the people who are there every time the door is opened, and if they're not there, you realize something terrible, something big has happened. They're the people who will not miss a prayer meeting, whether it's a morning prayer meeting, an evening prayer meeting, an all-night prayer meeting, an all-day prayer meeting. They'll be there, if it's humanly possible. And then we have great galleries of spectators who are not unimportant. They come, they give, they cheer, they support. Good people who could be great people. But they have opted out. may have opted out. Joshua is telling the 2.5 tribes, you may think you can settle down where you are, you can't. Time forbids that I explain all that. If Israel didn't, by the way, if Israel didn't take over the land on the west bank of Jordan, then those 2.5 tribes on the east bank wouldn't have lasted a generation. That have been wiped out in short order. There's no way. None of us is sufficient to himself. And he's telling them, look, you have a responsibility to be involved. What does it take for the whole blessing of God, for the whole people of God? Take sacrifice. These were big sacrifices. Leave your wives and children. I've often wondered why they didn't say, but if we take our army, where are the defenses? Well, there is a sacrifice here. You make the necessary sacrifice, and most of all, you remember your former vows. That is a very serious thing. There are people in this church this morning. 10 years ago, you vowed to God what you would be, and you've conveniently forgotten it. Maybe 20 years ago, you vowed to God what you were going to be, what you were going to do, how faithful you would seek to be in His service. But that's all receded into the background. My friend, the Lord does not forget that vow. And He's saying to you, remember your former vows. Shoulder your responsibility. And then render full obedience to God through His word. Verse 16 says, they answered Joshua, all that thou commandest us we will do, and whithersoever thou sendest us, we will go. What an undertaking. Those 2.5 tribes made this undertaking in the full light of their own impending separation from their families, in the full light of upcoming battles. Now here's the attitude of true believers. They come to the Lord and say, whatsoever thou commandest us, we will do. Wheresoever thou sendest us, we will go. For you and me this morning, if we're saved, the question is, what does the Lord require of me? It's always easy to say what the Lord requires of the church, what the Lord wants the church or somebody else to do. But what does the Lord require of me? How would the Lord have me to storm the strongholds of sin and Satan? What would the Lord have me to do? Now there's a duty that's common to us all, but there's a duty that's peculiar to each of us. As soon as Saul of Tarsus met the Lord Jesus Christ on the Damascus Road, Acts 9 and 6, he said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? The Lord Jesus said, arise, go into the city, it shall be told thee what thou must do. What wilt thou have me to do? I think it was the year 1949, when two young men in Belfast asked the Lord a similar question, what wilt thou have me to do? They felt a burden to evangelize the lost, and especially as they walked through the downtown area of the city on a Saturday evening, they saw great lines of people lining up at the cinemas. They wondered about the effectiveness of an open-air witness and ministering to those people as they were waiting to go in to those places of worldly entertainment. They approached their minister for advice. He was little older than themselves, but he said, before we do anything, we must pray. Before we can launch out to do anything of any value, we must pray. And so they started a Saturday night prayer meeting. And from the very beginning, a very unusual spirit of prayer came mightily upon them. In a very short time, that prayer meeting, may have been just a week or two, that prayer meeting extended until it became what is now in our church a very famous prayer meeting that ran for all of 36 hours with no more, at the very maximum of 4 people in attendance. And at the end of that time, they knew they had God's answer. And they knew they had God's power for service. That young minister was a 23-year-old by the name of Ian Paisley. A 16-year-old by the name, yes, a 16-year-old by the name of John Douglas. In the months that followed, they saw every person for whom they had interceded by name in those prayer meetings come to Christ, gloriously converted to Christ. The fire began to spread. Great gospel campaigns across the province of Ulster ushered literally hundreds upon hundreds upon hundreds into the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. And for almost half a century now, those men have continued to see a mighty work done for God. How did it start? It started with 2 young fellows who saw a need, but they saw more than a need. They saw the near prospect of great blessing. They were ready and they were willing. And they said, "Lord, what would you have me to do? Give me the power, no matter what it costs. I will do it." Are you there today? The prospect of imminent blessing demands that we be ready, we be willing, and we be dedicated. Come what may. Come what may. We will. We must enter in to our Canaan. May the Lord bring us in. Enough of the living in the shallows. May the Lord bring us in to the place of fullness for his name's sake. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Let's all pray. Father in heaven, bless thy word. Write it upon our hearts. Oh God, our Father, we cry to thee that thou wilt marvelously come down upon this people. Oh, lead us in to the fullness that there is in Christ. Thou hast said it is ours. It's our birthright. It's our blood-bought right. Thank God it is God's will for us to be living in the fullness of Christ. And yet thy word must continually exhort us to do so. O Lord, grant us today to the people who are ready and who are willing. Cause that consecration in the hearts of all thy people, that every Christian here will now, even in this moment of prayer, will now consciously and conscientiously be saying to the Lord, whatsoever thou commandest me, I will do. Whithersoever thou sendest me, I will go. Lord, bring us to that place, and then shall we surely be brought into Canaan fullness. Part us with thy blessing, keep us in thy fear, and be our abiding portion, now and evermore. Amen.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.